gun control legislation following the deadly mass shooting in Virginia Beach. During a news conference today, the Democrat from Virginia says he's calling lawmakers back to Richmond in an effort to pass what he calls common sense public safety laws. America's largest pharmacy chain has an ambitious new plan. As USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains,
CVS wants to turn more than 1,000 of its drugstores in America into healthcare centers. The pharmacy chain announcing it's going to expand a concept store that's been focusing on healthcare to 1,500 locations by the end of 2021. CVS has been testing that concept at a Houston area location that it calls Health Hub. More than 20% of Health Hub floor space is dedicated to healthcare services, including space for yoga classes and CVS Minute Nurse Practitioners. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
As we approach the 75th anniversary to D-Day, one thing that many people are always asking is, are kids in high school and even elementary school and middle school being taught enough about American history? I had a chance to catch up with historian and author Alex Kershaw. He's author of a new book titled The First Wave, The D-Day Warriors Who Led the Way to Victory in World War II. And one of the things I asked him was if he believes that in high school, kids are being taught enough history.
Well, I would, you know, until about 15 years ago, or even maybe longer, I would have had to say that, you know, I would hold my head in my hands and weep that so little history is being taught, certainly World War II history, which to me is the most important chapter of modern history. But fortunately, technology has done an amazing job, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an American teenager or an American in their 20s or even 30s that hasn't played Medal of Honor and one of these computer video games where they reenact World War II. And in fact, you know, Omaha Beach itself, what we've been talking about, is one. I think it's the first level in one of these hugely popular video games that millions and millions and millions and millions of American kids have played. So I don't think you can say that high schoolers in America don't know about World War II. They've actually reenacted it in some ways, you know, often far too many times for hundreds of hours in some cases.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. We're going to get started in a few minutes. Let me play a few introductions, and I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So today is Monday, June 4th. My dad's birthday, my late dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad, up in heaven. Today, we're sitting in downtown Flemington talking about real estate. They've asked me to give you the weather forecast before we get started, so I'm going to do that. It is a beautiful day out there. It's been cool both yesterday and today. We're sitting right now at 72. We're going to peak out just about there. It's going to go to 55 overnight. Tomorrow is 84 with a low of 66, a little bit of rain. And then Thursday, Friday, just partly cloudy, 84, 81, and then 59, 57 overnight. So looks like we're not the summer yet as far as the hot temperatures, but we're getting closer and closer. We definitely are ending spring with a flourish of rain showers, though. So let me finish up with a few of these paid commercials, and I'll be back to tell you about what's happening in Hunterdon County in real estate.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. I broadcast every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I do 1 week on real estate, and then I try to do the next week on either seniors or other matters that are of interest to the general audience. Today we're going to do our monthly real estate recap because at the end of each month I do a compilation of statistics and then turn it into a newsletter along with some of the facts and tidbits that I get from two other publications that I read and listen to. And the result is a newsletter that's probably about 6 pages long. It comprises of what's happening in Hunterdon County and even more so why it's happening. And I also do a Somerset County version as well because my business spans both Hunterdon and Somerset County. So today we're going to delve into what's happened in Hunterdon County in the last 30 days and then a little bit as to why it's happening. First things first, you need to understand how we measure activity in the market. And a normal market means we have 4 to 6 months worth of activity, I should say inventory. So you might say, well, what's a month's worth of inventory? If we have 10 houses on the market in a given market, then we sell one, we have 10 months worth of inventory. If we sell three, then we have 3 1/3 months worth of inventory. 4 to 6 is average. That's when prices are holding, sort of the rainbows and unicorns are out. Everybody's happy, doing their happy feet thing. If you get above 6 months' worth of inventory, then we're seeing pressure on prices. And as a result, we're probably seeing price cuts in order to make the market. It becomes a buyer's market versus a seller's market. If we get below 4 months' worth of inventory, then it becomes a seller's market. And we're getting multiple offers, and we're seeing prices rise. So 0 to 4, seller's market. 4 to 6, normal. 6 and above, buyer's market. Prices having pressure on them. And if we take a look across the whole county, for the month of April, I should say the month of May, which just ended, it's now June 4th, we have 5 months' worth of inventory. And what is that? The rainbows and unicorns, people. Little butterflies flying, birds chirping. Things are normal in Hunterdon County as a county as a whole. But we have to look at this fervor, and we have to look at it both by price point, we have to look at it by location, and we have to look at it at price point within location. And when we look there, we see we've got some really hot spots and we've got some really not so hot spots. And that's what I'm going to go over with for the next few minutes. First things first, we sold 213 houses in Hunterdon County in the last 30 days. Now, by sold, I mean it went under contract. It's probably not closed yet. In some cases, it might be. And in the same period of time, we listed another 312. And we have a total inventory at the end of the month of May of 992, sold 213, divide 213 into 992, 5 months' worth of inventory. And I break that down further, and I go into the price points. And 77% of our inventory that sold last month was in the 500 and under price point, so less than $500,000 in home value. The other 23% was above that, and only 5% was above the 700,000 figure. So if we were to break it down into three classifications, 77% under 500, and then another 18% between 500 and 700, and then another 5% above 700. So you might say, wow, that's not a lot of houses above 700. It amounted to 14 sales last month, which is a lot because it was a busy month. We typically have 4 or 5. But it does mean that we have some challenges in inventory at that level. And let me go through it by price point. We've got 3 months supply up to 200,000. 2 to 3, we got 3 months supply. 3 to 4, 3 months supply. 4 to 5, 3 months supply. So let me say in aggregate, from zero to $500,000, we have 3 months worth of supply. When we get between 5 and 6, which is where a glut of inventory has come on in the last couple of months, we have 10 months supply. So we're seeing some challenges there. When we get above 6 months supply, above 7, 14 months supply, in the 8s, we got 6 months supply. And then the 9s, which is sort of a no man's land. We only have 6 houses listed in the 9s. I should say we only have 34 houses listed in the 9s. We sold one house, so that would be 34 months worth of inventory. That's an anomaly. We may sell none last month. Next month, we may sell 2 or 3, which would improve the number. And when we get over $1 million, we have 60 houses listed. We sold 3. Divide 3 into 60, we have 20 months or nearly 2 years' worth of inventory. So what was the average price point in Hunterdon County? The average listing price point was $509,000. The average sale price was $398,000, just a little under $400,000. That's roughly 21% less than the average price point. So you might say, well, how can that be? Well, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. That's the houses listed last month will probably sell the end of the summer, and they'll sell for a higher price point. The houses, in effect, that sell first are usually the lower price point houses, and those people then trade up and get a larger house. Hopefully they don't leave, which is another problem we're going to talk about. But 77% of all our houses under 700,000. 23% above it is broken between 18% between 500 and 700, and then 5% over 700,000. Still 14 sales. So we also break the numbers down that I'm talking about to towns, because some towns do better than others. We actually have four towns that always do about half of our business, and that would be Clinton, Clinton Township, Raritan, and Reddington. Those four towns did 50% of our business last month. And if you look at where the really hot spots are, as far as low inventory per town, low month supply of inventory, one of the best is Reddington Township, 109 houses, sold 25. Raritan Township, 136 houses, sold 51. Both of those have 3 and 4 months worth of inventory. Clinton Township, 102 houses, we sold 26, 4 months of inventory. The town of Clinton, 15 houses, sold 4 months worth of inventory. So we're seeing some pretty good pictures in those towns that are the hot spots, but we at the same time have the non-hot spots. And if we take a look at the town of Frenchtown, I should say Franklin. Franklin is just past Clinton to the south, and it spans below like where the Walmart is down till you get to Raritan Township. We had no sales last month. Now, I'm going to take that back. I'm looking at this crookedly. We had 28 listings. We had 3 sales last month. So they had roughly 3 into 28, 8 or 9 months worth of supply. We did have no sales, though, in Stockton. And that's a concern. Stockton only has 4 listings. Nothing sold last month. So we have an infinite amount of inventory in that case. But what really has to happen, in order for you to understand where your house fits into this, we have to take a look at the price point within your town that your house falls within. And then within that price point, we've got to take a look at what your competition is, because some of your competition could have been older houses. Maybe yours is a 1970s, and a lot of them in the town are, you know, older Second World War, First World War houses. They're not comparable, so we have to break it down by age group. And it's a pretty scientific analysis we can do, because the more houses I can find that are like yours that sold in the last 6 months, the easier it is to do. And when we get into like a townhouse development where there may be 3 or 4 just like yours that have sold, we can pretty finitely come down to, based on what their sales were, based on a little bit of growth since they sold, based on your condition and features versus their condition and feature, what your target price point would be. But a lot of times, we also get into a situation where there's no comparables to your house. So when we find that, we have to go out and look a few more towns out to see if we can get houses that are like yours that sold. And I'll give you a good example. Flemington is surrounded by Raritan Township. And a lot of times, if you look in Flemington, you're not going to find another house that's sold, but Raritan Township may have 2 or 3. So we have to take a look at them. We have to take a look where they are and whether or not it's a more robust part of the township and adjust for the features. They may have 2-car garage and yours is 1. They may have 4 bedrooms, yours is 3. We have a little chart where we substitute those amounts. And we're able to pretty precisely say, based on what we're seeing, here's where your house needs to be listed. Now, what happens is, well, I'd like to try it a little higher to start with and see what the market will bear. It's a poor judgment, but people like to do that. And then they waste 30 or 60 days, the important days on the market, where hardly anybody looks at their house. And then they take a price adjustment, and they don't adjust it enough. So it takes 2 price adjustments. So the 6-month listing is almost up by the time they get the price where it should be. And by that time, the market may have moved on. So I'm telling you, as a realtor, I can pretty precisely tell you where your house should be listed. And based on where it should be listed, how long it's going to take you to sell. I can also show you the other houses that are like yours that have sold in that price point in the last few months. And I can also show you the other houses that you're going to be competing against. And if I was to arrange all the pictures in a row, let's say your house is a 450, and I take all the 400s to 500s that are on the market and that have sold in your price point and show them to you in dollar sequence, you could probably just about pick where yours should go. It's a gut feel sometimes, but it's not the seller that sets the price. It's the buyer that sets the price. And I, as an agent, help you understand how the buyer is going to look at your house, get it priced at a point where they're going to find it attractive, and then market it so that they know yours is for sale when they're out looking and come take a look at it. And if your house is priced too high, we're both missing that target. So, that's the market in Hunterdon County. 902 active market. 312 more came on last month, and we sold 213. Average price point just under 400. Average asking price just over 500. And we've got 5 months supply. Let's take a look at the same thing for Somerset County. Now, Somerset County is a sister county, one county closer to New York. It has about 2.5 times the houses in it and 2.5 times the people in it. Somerset County has 1,578 houses for sale, where we have 900. Somerset County sold 500 of them. They have a 3 month supply. And they brought 621 new listings on, where we brought 312 on. So they're doing almost a 2-to-1 ratio. Somerset County, remember I told you Hunterdon County gets in trouble in the fives? Somerset County goes all the way up to the 800,000 mark before it gets out of the normal range. And it doesn't even get out very much. It gets into the 6 month supply in the eights, it gets into the 5 month supply in the nines, and then in a million and up, there's a 13 month supply. But that's a 13-month supply compared to our 20-month supply. So it's going to take them almost half the time to sell versus us. People say, what's the big difference between Hunterdon and Somerset other than it being closer to New York? My answer is, you're going to get about 20% more for your house in Hunterdon County. So you probably paid 20% more for it when you bought it. And you're going to get about half the land. It's a more dense township in most places. And it's a more sought-after township. People sort of come to Hunterdon when they can't find what they're looking for in Somerset, and I help them do that. Now, Somerset's got some hot spots as well. Somerset, the average list price in Somerset's $650, where ours is $500, and the average sale price in Somerset's $493, where ours is $398. But 63% of their sales, where it was 77% of our sales, are under 500K. 32% between 500 and a million, and just 4%, but 22 houses in total, above $1 million last year. So they're above a million, and not last year, but last month. They have 282 houses above a million, where we have roughly 60. They sold 22, where we sold 3. They had 72 come on, where we had 13 come on. It's a higher-end county, especially in the hills and the areas of Watchung and Warren. They've got some dead spots as well. They're Rocky Hill, which is a pretty high-end price. Nothing sold, only 4 for sale, but nothing sold last month. In Manville, hard to sell area because of the flooding conditions, and it's a rather depressed market. 22 houses for sale, and in effect our under contract last month was just one. So that's a tough market. If you take a look at Bedminster, 73 houses for sale, 23 sold. Three months. Bernard's, 225 for sale, 68 sold. Bernardsville, 103 for sale, 17 sold. High-end market, 6 month supply. Warren Watchung, both sitting at 7 and 9 months. 7 for Watchung, 9. The problems between the two counties are similar but not the same. What we're witnessing in Hunterdon County and in Somerset County is that the high end of the market is softening. And by softening, I mean there's still a market, but there's not the market that there once was. And we're going to get into a few of the reasons. But the difference in the high end of the market is that Hunterdon County high end market starts in the sevens. That's where we start to soften. And Somerset County's high end market starts in the nines to a million. But if you get above a million two in Somerset, they have a very soft market as well. So So that's what's happening. So let's take a look now at why it's happening. But before doing that, I'd like to play one or two of our paid commercials, and I'll be right back.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
So, we talked about what's happening. Let's get into why it's happening. And let's start with inventory and sales. Sales-wise, for the first time in 3 years, we've seen an improvement in inventory, which results in an improvement in sales. And our issue is we do not have enough inventory at the popular price points, which are under $400,000 in Hunterdon County. And we have too much inventory at the higher price points, which is where very few people are buying. But what's happened is interesting because the flourish of new listings were in the 500 to 600, 700 range over the last 6 months. So we added a lot of inventory just above where our demand is. That's good news and it's bad news. If we added it where our demand is, they would have sold instantly. Let's say we put them all in the threes and the twos and threes and fours. But they went into the fives and sixes, and as a result, that now allows people who last year would have moved up and gotten into a bigger house once the kids went on to college and might have bought the house of their dreams. They, in effect, have inventory to buy, which they didn't have to buy last year. So a 400 might buy a 600. That would have turned their house on the market. Somebody that's in the two to threes might buy theirs, and that would turn a first-time buyer property down to twos and threes. So it might result in three, maybe four sales, depending where the price point was. It's a beginning of a good trend because we're starting to see inventory come on, but we haven't seen inventory increase under $500,000. One of the reasons is that it's going the day it comes on, so it doesn't stay on long enough to register. We have a lot of sales under $500,000. If I was to take a look at the sales figures for Hunterdon County and look under the $500,000 mark, you've got 35 sales in the under two, 37 in the two to three, 48 in the three to four, 44 in the four to five. Lots of sales. Once you get above 500, 19 sales, 5 to 6, 16 sales, 6 to 7, 5 sales, 7 to 8, it gets rather slow. But the good news is people are moving up, and as a result of them moving up, housing below them is coming on the market. The bad news is there's no new construction going on in our free market. That means not income assisted, not age restricted. Very little, if any, new inventory going on under $500,000. So all we have to sell are the houses that we have had on the market and are now being resold. And the ones that are clean and the ones that are priced properly in that price range, under $500,000, are literally going the day they come on the market. The under $400,000 inventory actually saw a 4% drop in inventory last month. Activity still concentrates down there. But during the same period, housing sales above 600 and below a million showed very modest increases, showing confidence in the changes made on taxes and deregulation. There's a yin and a yang to that. The yin is, okay, people are confident, they're making money, they're trading up. The yang is some people aren't seeing housing as a good investment anymore. You used to buy a house, it went up 5% a year. At the end of 10 years, you've almost doubled your money. That's not seen as a probability. And secondly, there's some taxation changes that make that not such a good investment. But we're still seeing inventory come on, and we're still seeing buyers up above 500,000. We have 31,000 fewer houses, or 43% less than we had in 2011. That's just 8 years ago, which is where our peak was. And currently, the unsold inventory across New Jersey has some counties as low as 2.6 months. Somerset's got 3. And some as high as 8, but nothing above 8. That's good news. Inventory is moving. We have an acute shortage in the popular price points. Hunterdon County has 10%, and Somerset County has 2% more inventory than we had a year ago. And we have about 4% more sales in Hunterdon and 4% less sales in Somerset. The market has changed from a seller's to a buyer's market in the above 500K market due to the additional inventory rising. It's a supply and demand thing. And we're also seeing some millennials coming back into our local markets and buying homes. That's good news. I got to admit, they're usually not the ones that left. They're people who have discovered Hunterdon and Somerset County as a great place to live. Interest rates. This is the most interesting statistic. Interest rates have dropped further over the last month. And just heard on the radio yesterday that if the rate was to be dropped at the Fed level, we could see interest rates go down to as low as 3%. That would very nicely stimulate the market even further. Of course, if we have nothing to sell, it's kind of hard, but it might stimulate people to buy in the above 500 market that wouldn't be stimulated today. Interest rates were almost 5% at the beginning of the year. That's not 6 months ago, and they're under 4% today. That's good news. You can buy almost 10% more with a 1% drop in interest rates. National job front. We have added 2,700,000 jobs last year. That's good news. U.S. employment in April came in with 263,000 jobs being added. I haven't seen this month's numbers yet, but they're probably going to be out any day. We've gone 103 consecutive months in positive job gains. In the end of January, May, we had 7.5 million openings compared to 6.2 million people unemployed. That's good news. Now, why is there that disparity? Well, one of the things is we have the people skilled in the wrong skills. We need people skilled where we have the jobs open. That's an open issue. But the fact that we have more jobs than people has led to the minimum wage rising. And not by somebody at the state level rising it. What we're paying people to start in Hunterdon County is somewhere between $13 and $15 an hour. We don't need the state to raise it. It's raised by itself. It's free market and it's working. And on top of everything else, consumer confidence is at an all-time high, the highest since 2004 anyway. New Jersey job front follows. Somebody would like to take a lot of credit for New Jersey adding the jobs that we've added. We added 239,000 in 2018 compared to 47,000 for the same period in 17. But our unemployment's 3.9%. We added 3,600 jobs in March. April added another 11,800. Based on these results, we could add 25,000 jobs in 2019 versus only the 8,300 we added the year before. I don't really think it's us doing a lot right at the state level. I think the federal, the countrywide level of, and there's three things that drives the inventory, drives the market. We need inventory, we need interest, we need jobs. I think New Jersey's unemployment success is rising with the nation's success. The tide rises all the boats at the same time. I think we're rising with the nation. The job market is mostly in the northern half of the state. If you get too far from New York, it becomes a totally different issue. And I'll give you a good example of what I've seen just in the last 30 days. We used to say around 2005 that, you know, people come to Route 31, which sort of divides Hunterdon County north and south, maybe another mile. So that would be Hunterdon County's Clinton, Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan area. And that's as far as they wanted to go and go back to New York. Over the last 10 years, as we've recovered for the economic problems of the 2005 to 2010 area, that rescinded or retracted towards New York. And I was in the habit of saying people will come to 287 plus a mile, which is Bridgewater, and then go back to New York. They'd only come further for a really, really good buy. Well, I was selling a house in the Basking Ridge area in the last 30 days, and the agent over there told me they don't even come this far anymore, and that's right along 287. He said 15 miles from New York, which is about 10 miles short of 287 as far as they're seeing people want to come. So we have an issue in that we don't have mass transportation in Hunterdon County or any great extent in Somerset County. People do have to drive where they're going or take a bus and then drive or take a train that takes forever and then drive. And as a result, many new acquisitions and homes are being made along high-speed rail lines closer to New York. How do we straighten this out? Only the future can tell. But I do think we've got to get into more technological ways of getting people out here, like perhaps HOV lanes with self-driving cars or buses in them, so that we can cut down on labor, cut down on the human factor, and get people from point to point a lot quicker. But that's speculation. Right now, we have a shortage of people wanting to live in Hunterdon County. And as a result of it, we're not selling as many houses as we used to. It is a great place to live. I've been here 20 years, and I'm not going anywhere. It's just not a great place to work. You need to go to the east in order to make enough money to be able to afford to live here. And then when you start commuting every day, you say, what am I doing? Maybe I should work closer to where I live, closer to where I'm working. And we're losing people. And the millennials are thinking that way, because the millennials are saying, look, I really would like to be at a place where I'm in a high-rise luxury rental. I don't want to buy right now. I can't find anything I can afford, so I don't want to buy. I want to rent. If I'm going to rent, I might as well rent closer to New York. Why rent all the way out here in Hunterdon County? Good argument, with one exception. It's more expensive to rent closer to New York. you are probably spending almost twice to live within 5 miles of New York as what you spend in rent in Hunterdon County. And that's not where it stops. You're also spending more to park your car. You're spending more to buy a cup of coffee. You're spending more to get a shirt clean. Everything costs more in the, but it's where people want to live. So what happens? What we're seeing is that the millennials who are living close to New York City for the reasons I mentioned aren't accumulating net worth. And without accumulating net worth, they may never reach a point where they can afford to buy a house. That's an interesting dichotomy in logic, because they're thinking of today, they're getting the immediate gratification. There's nothing wrong with it. I wouldn't mind living in a city within 5 miles from New York if I was still working in New York. But I couldn't afford to. That's why I never did it. But somehow they're finding a way to spend, instead of 20%, 25% of their income on rent, more like 40 to 45% of their income on rent, and everything else is costing more as well. And as a result, the accumulation of net worth is not happening, and as a result of that, being able to afford a house eventually is further and further away. It's a diminishing dream. So, what has the new construction market done in order to keep up with this? Well, last year, over 60% of all the new construction in New Jersey was a rental-only new construction. They built what people wanted. They built high-rises closer to New York at more money in order to fulfill the requirement that is in front of them. And I'll give you a good example. If you go over to 206, as it goes down into Hillsborough, there must be 1,200, 1,500 new garden apartments just between the Somerville Circle and where Amwell Road crosses 206. Most of them are in a $1,700, $1,800 rental market. That's a one-bedroom garden apartment. I don't know what sure garden apartment means, but it means it's a little better than what we had when we were their age. In order to afford an $1,800 rental, you have to be making somewhere in the $70,000 to $80,000 point. That's a lot of money. And you're not going to earn that kind of money in Hunterdon, and for the greatest extent, Somerset County. So you're going to go closer to New York or into New York. And when you start doing that, that reverse cycle happens. And people say, why live that far out? I could live closer to New York for another couple of hundred, save it, and all those other things happen. So this dichotomy is on between us, the logic of living in the suburbs versus the logic of living next to where the work is at continues. Our drop in home ownership through the recession run from 71 to 66%. We've built back up to, it was really lower than that, it was more like 63. But it's a healthy, because the difference between 66 and 71 was the fallout where people really couldn't afford the houses they were in. And one article I read states that homeowners are 65 plus have an average net worth of $318,000. And if that homeowner isn't a homeowner but is a renter at 65 plus, their average net worth is $8,000. So if they're 65 and that's all they've accumulated, you can imagine how tough it is for the ones that are 25 and 35. The day-to-day expenses are eating up the money that should be going into the bank. And when the money's not going into the bank, they've got a tiger by the tail. They're going to keep working. And then maybe once they have a child or a second child, they could come migrating back. But I onboard about six couples a year into Somerset and Hunterdon County. And quite honestly, the people that I've seen coming in are coming in for this right reason, quality of life. But they're not the ones that left. Foreclosures, another subject matter. We're doing much better in that area. Our foreclosure rate on a national level is down at 1.4%. And in New Jersey, we're sitting at 2.8%. Yeah, it's even lower than that, 2.3%. New York is 2.8%. where we had 66,000 foreclosures last year and 76 the year before. It looks like we're going to have 44. That problem's resolving itself because we're selling off all those hurricane-damaged houses, all of those foreclosures from the financial crisis. A lot of people made a lot of stink about the tax cut. Oh, my God, the tax tables are changing, and I'm losing all these deductions. Turns out that it didn't hurt as many as we thought it would be, or at least that some people said it would hurt. It looks like the upper 5%, which is what the design was, were the only ones that were hurt. And those are the people that are earning more than $250,000 and own a house that's worth at least $1 million. We have a lot of people like that in New Jersey. We don't have a lot of people like that in Hunterdon County, even though we're a pretty affluent county. So where are we at? We're at a point where we're out of inventory, where we need people to buy, the first-time buyers and develop families. And we have excess inventory at the point where people don't want to buy, can't afford to buy. I mean, 70% of all the people in New Jersey, the households in New Jersey, don't have a child of school age. 50% don't have two people in it. They're not going to buy a big center hall colonial on 3 acres in Hunterdon County or in Somerset County, maybe on 2 or 1 acre. They're going to buy a smaller house or rent. Economic conditions look good. We had a long discussion at one of my management groups this morning as to how different people saw the economic. And I think some of it depends on the market sector you're in, and I think some of it depends on political beliefs, and I think some of it depends on whether or not you figured out how to make this economy work for you. But I can say unequivocally, the economy's in good shape, not only nationwide, but in New Jersey. We have houses to sell, we have low interest, and we have jobs. You put those three things together and lower interest even further, we're going to sell more houses. So wages are up 3.2%. GDP isn't climbing as fast as it was, but in effect, it's still in good shape. Entry-level construction hindered by a lot of things, including urban development in the affordable housing area. By affordable housing, I mean income restricted. Foreclosures on the decline, continued confidence that the new tax and Jobs Act will continue to benefit most. And another thing that's happening, though, is people are just thinking differently. Changes in lifestyle. Average age at marriage, almost 10 years more than it was just 10 years ago. Families usually having one, maybe two children. A lot more expensive, a lot easier to control than it was 20 years ago. I went through 70% of the houses not having a child of school age, and 50% don't have two people in them. So the demand for larger houses is not there. Job opportunities, buyers are gravitating within 15 miles of New York City. That's not where we're at, so it affects us. Builders have been thinking building larger four-bedroom center hall colonials on one-plus acre. As a matter of fact, that's what they have to build because the local building ordinance says that's what needs to be built. But buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rises closer to mass transportation and the city. Truly a mismatch. 60% of all the housing starts in New Jersey were rentals last year. We're going to have a glut of rentals if the housing market ever gets really well back on its feet. The slump that we saw at the end of last year is fairly well a distant past. It was because of the two rate hikes. The rates have held, and we may even see a rate drop, which will stimulate the economy even further. We are talking about an economic slowdown, but quite honestly, I think the economic slowdown is upon us in some instances already, in less growth and less sales. But if we do see an even more serious economic slowdown in the next 2 years, it will not be what we saw 10 years ago. It will just be a diminishing of the growth in house prices and a diminishing in the growth in the amount of houses that we sell. In general, homeowners are sitting on a lot of equity. Consumer confidence remains high. Most consumers see homeownership as a sound investment. That hasn't changed. A bit of offset with the discouraging news that we see on television. It doesn't help. And buyer traffic at open houses, and we have less open houses because we have less houses on the market in the areas that we typically do open houses, the popular price points, is still high. So the confidence is reflected in that buyer traffic. Affordability will probably never be as good as it is with wages rising, home prices holding. We had 3.7% increase in home prices in New Jersey last year. It'll probably be 2 to 2.5 this year. So I'm saying it slowed a little. The under 400 market holds steady, diminishing slightly, mainly because there's no inventory. The 4 to 6 is holding its own, and the over 6 property goes slowing down a tad. Minimal new construction we talked about. 5-year forecast indicates a 2 to 4% appreciation over that time. Cute short of the inventory in both Hunter and Somerset in the more popular price points hold us back there. And mortgage delinquency is normalizing. So here's the forecast. As the economy continues to prosper, for no recession currently in sight, for the next 24 to 36 months at least, interest rates will probably not climb much further in 2019, might even take a cut this coming quarter. Home prices will rise, as I said, 2 to 3%. They're not going to drop. While improving, supply will remain tight. Many new jobs are resulting from the tax and jobs, but most of them that are resulting are further to the east. For the first time in memory, we have more jobs than people to fill them. We are at full employment if you consider that 3% of our population, which is roughly to 6 million people, are always out of work for one reason or another. We need to match the skills with the employment needs. The affordability index shows there's more room for more sales. We just need the inventory. Some high-end fallout has resulted from the taxes, and we did see 5,700 millionaires leave New Jersey in the last 12 months. Commercial real estate is also flourishing. We're talking about residential, but because of the tax law changes that greatly increase how much can be depreciated, commercial real estate is flourishing as well. And people in their houses more than 10 years are experiencing the discovery of, wow, I didn't know I had that much equity in my house. Most of them are above 50% because they're paying down the principal instead of the interest the longer they are in their house. This has been presented by a public service, as a public service by myself and as an employee or a contractor for Coldwell Banker. All real estate agents are 1099 contractors. I took reasonable precautions in what I presented, and please consult a professional sales agent. Take no actions based on my opinions on these trends and statistics because I assume no liability. I'm telling you, if you're thinking about selling, and especially if you're in a higher price point, this may be the best year ever because I don't see the above 7 market going up. As a matter of fact, I see it correcting even further. If you're in a 5 to 7, you're probably treading water. It's not going up. It's not going down. The closer you get to 7, the closer it may be going down. If it's the under 5 market, it's red hot. Red hot. Red hot. Got a nice, clean house. Under 500, it's going to sell immediately. Everything seems to be going in the right direction. If we do see a correction, and the argument is coming out that the correction may already have happened, that remains to be seen. But if we do see a correction, it will not be a correction where prices drop. It will be a correction where appreciation, the amount your house goes up each year, will go up less. The amount of the houses that we sell in a year will go up less. But we're not going to see what we saw in 2005 to 2010. People are not using their house as an ATM machine. In other words, they're not borrowing against their equity. They've learned from the lessons. We can prove that statistically. There are no speculators in the market today. The only people that are in the market are investors, and that's healthy. I've got several investors that buy one or two one-bedroom condos a year. And we're now talking to some of them actually getting into the small single families, because the small single families are not a good tax shelter for people who already got the double deduction as a part of the tax changes. Our biggest problem is we need starter inventory in a free market. The free market, I'll define as a market where it's not income restricted. Affordable housing is an income restricted market by definition. In Hunterdon County, you have to make as a couple less than $50,000 to get into an affordable housing unit, or $37,000 as a single. So if you're above that market and you want to buy a small house, we need inventory. We're not building that inventory. We're not building it because we're constrained by the affordable housing constraints and by the fact that land has gone through the roof and by the fact that zoning laws don't allow us to build what we should be building. Think back to 2000 to 2005, where we put up half of Beaverbrook was built in that area. All those new units in Beaverbrook in Clinton Township were built between 2000 and 2005. All sold, all have prospered. We developed more of them. They were all 200 to 350,000 when they were built. So, okay, maybe we can't build 200s anymore, but we could build 300 to 400,000, and they'd sell. But we're not. We're not building a one. We're building ones and twos, large-scale houses that nobody wants. This has been Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker. I'm going to play my introduction one more time, and I will be absent next week. We're going to repay this forecast, traveling out to the West Coast to visit a new grandchild, and I'll be back the following week with some guests. So I appreciate you tuning in. Please stay tuned, and we'll talk to you again.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Vice President Mike Pence is visiting with residents in Oklahoma impacted by the severe flooding. Pence and his wife Karen visited damaged neighborhoods and packed food boxes at a community food bank in eastern Oklahoma.
I just want to say how grateful we are for all the members of the law enforcement community, all of the first responders who've been working 24/7 through all of these tremendous storms and challenges. Our hearts grieve for the loss of life.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump are hosting a formal dinner for Prince Charles and his wife Camilla. The Trumps are staying at the Winfield House during their stay in London, which is the official residence of the U.S. ambassador to Great Britain. The president did meet with outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May earlier today. A final look at your numbers on Wall Street. The Dow closed up 512 points to close the day at 25,332. This is USA Radio News.
Andro 400 Max, man, that's a game changer. You know, I don't eat as much as I used to, and I don't miss it, and I don't feel deprived. I've lost 37 pounds, and the spare tire around my waist is gone. I mean, it's gone. Plus, I've got a lot more energy. You know, I couldn't be happier.
Now, listen to what Bill said about Andro 400.
I have tried all kind of different things to lose weight for years, and this thing is crazy.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Despicable. That's a word being used by Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson when he described some of the violence in Chicago over the past few days. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson is blaming the flow of illegal guns in a too lenient criminal justice system for the high level of violence in Chicago.
We saw a despicable level of violence with 52 shot and 10 killed.
The south and west sides of Chicago have long struggled with the violence that many have blamed on gangs, drug deals, and personal disputes that escalated.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost is calling for an end to the statute of limitations for rape. He released a letter on Monday, which was also signed by the five previous attorneys generals, that says murder cases don't have a statute of limitations.
In some ways, you might say it's worse than homicide because the trauma that stems from rape is borne by the survivor for the remainder of life.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.